April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast presented by Parks Sportsbook and Casino. James Seltzer, Elliot Shore Parks coming your way. We're going to dive into some Eagles talk, but first remember you can rate and review the podcast. Elliot and I have agreed to take the SATs and post our scores online if we get to 2,000 five-star reviews. So the quicker we get there, the quicker you get to make fun of us. Am I right, Elliot?
Well, I don't know if you'll make fun of me. I mean, I think I'm, you know, I'm a, obviously everyone that knows me and follows me on Twitter knows I'm the definition of an intellectual. So I feel very good.
Good.
My vocabulary is off the charts. So I'm not sure if vocabulary is part of the SATs, but leave a five-star review and we'll all find out, I guess.
We're off to a great start with this. I don't even really know what's on it, but yeah, we should be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be good.
So also, look, let's not lie to ourselves. It's been a bit of a few negative days here in Philadelphia, right?
It's been delightful loving sports in Philadelphia. It's just a good time, Elliot.
If anybody needs a reason to think the season is going to turn around, I have some news for you. James, I don't know if you know this yet, but I need your live reaction on if this makes you feel better or worse about the Eagles turning things around.
Oh, God.
Ready?
Yes.
Doug Peterson today is wearing a face shield at practice instead of a mask.
Oh, man. I guess slightly worse.
That's kind of where I fall.
Yeah, slightly
it
worse.
It seems like something I would like, but I don't know. Switching it up, I don't really like. So anyway, that just felt like that was some breaking news.
Look, it's an important thing. It's an important one. Elliot, we're going to grab on any lifeline we can these days. If it's a visor or a face shield or whatever, I'll take what I can get, Elliot. I'm just sadly, this is not as inspiring as I hoped it would be.
Yeah, I don't know if this qualifies as like an emergency pod status, but I do think the face shield, as someone that tracks what color armband Carson Wentz wears each game, I think that, you know, I think this qualifies as breaking news.
Well, so, Elliot,
Dougie P going with the face shield.
Well, more importantly, speaking of Dougie P, let me ask you a very important question. Have you ever played quarterback in the NFL, Elliot?
You know, I was thinking it'd be funny.
Come on, man.
I know. I mean, look, here's the thing.
So for those who don't know, real quick, Jimmy Kemsky today asked Doug a very fair question about Carson Wentz and missing open throws and some of the throws being layups. And Doug goes, have you played quarterback in the NFL? None of them are layups. Like, and just got a little snippy where it probably was not necessary.
Well, to be fair, none of them were layups for Doug, you know?
That's true. Yeah, not a single throw Doug made in the NFL was a layup. That's fair.
I wonder what Doug would have said if Jimmy went, yeah, I did.
I know. Jimmy was like, actually, yeah, all pro.
Yeah, I did. I don't want to talk about it, but I did. So do your homework on me. No, look, here's the thing with Doug, I would say. I think over the last few pressers, the last week, you know, you can really read Doug's emotion when he starts. Doug is like having fun with these things. The two times he's kind of pushed back in these instances, there was the one where he pushed back with Bo Wolf of The Athletic and now pushing back at Jimmy. Like, I think he's just having a good time. When he said the one word answer to me, when he kind of, you know, then answered Brandon Lee Gatwin the way he did. To me, Doug is like trying to have a good time with these. I don't really think you can read too much into it. Ooh. The only thing I would take is he's trying not to rip his players. And like, it's really hard to do because they're all playing bad.
Yeah, look, it's very funny because I have a very different interpretation of it. I think Doug's getting tired of it. I think he's getting annoyed with the questions. I think he's getting annoyed for, like you said, having to stand up for certain players and all that. And look, I think that what we saw with that specific answer today was after Monday, Doug comes out and is willing to criticize Carson a little bit, calling a throw unacceptable and a decision unacceptable. Yeah. Like, Doug is – that's not Doug's style. You know, Doug is very, you know, of the Andy school, protect your players, all that type of stuff. And I thought he was critical of Carson and should be. We all know, you know, deservedly critical. And I thought today it was back to Doug being more Doug-like and trying to defend Carson in that spot. But on the whole, I've really gotten the impressions that I haven't thought it was fun at all for Doug Peterson. I think he's getting legitimately annoyed at some of these questions and having to try and figure out ways to answer them when he wants to just say, hey, Carson sucked on Sunday, okay? He sucked. What do you want me to say? Like, I think that's what he's thinking, at least. Whether he's right or not, I think that's what he's thinking.
Well, and I agree. Maybe fun wasn't the right word. What I'm saying is he's running out of ways to answer these questions without ripping Carson. You know, like, so the question was basically, why is Carson missing these easy throws? And the answer is obviously, like,
no,
I don't know,
throws,
man. He has to start making
there's
them.
There's no easy throws. You didn't know that?
Yeah,
none of them,
like,
are easy.
They're very easy throws. He should be making these throws is the answer. But, of course, he's going to try to defend Carson. And I think that repeatedly you've seen this with Doug in press conferences, like his answer about why they weren't moving Jason Peters to left tackle. Like, we all knew why he wasn't, but he's defending Jason. So Doug is willing to, like, take the bullet at the podium.
To look like a fool at times to defend his players, yes.
And then today he also made a joke about how Carson and Press Taylor are both smarter than him, and just nobody laughed, and it just, like, he kept going. It was very awkward. So it's been an interesting few press conferences from Doug Peterson, to say the least.
Yeah, it really has. And like you said, I mean, really, since the Jason Peters stuff, Doug's press conferences have had at least one or two moments where, you know, even his interview with Angelo the other day, I mean, the question about the throw to JJ, where there's the long gaping pause, and then Doug goes, it's a good question. Good question.
Yeah.
Like, you knew he wanted to say something else there. So, look, I get what you're saying. I do think that Doug is starting to get frustrated with these and starting to try and find ways to do it. But ultimately, the end result, a lot of times when he tries to do these, you know, gymnastics and whatever, is Doug ends up looking like a fool and it makes him look bad. It does.
It does. Yeah, I agree it does. I just don't know if Doug cares so much. But one of the advice I would give to Doug is it might be time to start caring, because if this season's going where a lot of people kind of think, and at this point, I don't think anybody thinks they're like a 10-win team, right? I mean, I think the best you're looking at is 8 or 9 wins, like best case scenario. It's going to be time to, like, defend. Like, everyone's kind of have to defend themselves. And Doug looking, I don't think he looks like a fool, but Doug, like, taking bullets for people that don't deserve it at this point, I just don't know if that's Doug's in Doug's best long-term interest. Like, he can get up there and, you know, not rip the personnel, not rip Carson, but like the guy that picks the personnel and Carson are also going to be in the discussion at the end of the year as whose fault it is. And I think it's time for Doug to like start getting his case out there a little bit more. Like, I don't know how you would say it, but you know, so, something like, we had a play ran up, Carson didn't go the way we wanted to, he made the best decision we could. Like, just something to let people know that this is, like, it's not his fault.
Hey, if Carson had maybe made another decision, it could have worked out, but he didn't. And, you know,
that's... Right, something like that.
Something. Look, here's what I'll tell you. The one thing, and we'll move on from Doug Pressers, and I want to get to, you know, the 0-2 start and who's to blame, and I have a very interesting question I want to ask you that I just thought of when you were talking about what we could theoretically expect as a best-case scenario for this team. But with the Doug press conference, I want to stay with that for 1 second, because there is one thing that he keeps going back to in these press conferences that I think you can really rip Doug for. And, you know, again, a lot of these, like we're talking about, are spots where, you know, like, you can rip Doug, but we all know that he's trying to do something there by defending his players or deflecting or whatever. But if Doug Peterson, one more time, Elliot, talks about a lack of practice time, lack of training camp, not enough reps, when every other team in the NFL, including teams that do not have the same head coach and same quarterback coming back, who are not experiencing these issues, had the exact same amount of time, the exact same amount of reps. Doug, stop saying that.
Okay, so first of all, I appreciate the passion.
I mean, it's ridiculous. But he keeps using it as an excuse, like the Eagles are the only team that had to deal with this. Everyone did.
So I don't believe that Doug believes that.
Ooh,
that's just the only route
okay.
I can take.
I hope you're right, man. I hope you're right. It's a good take.
I don't believe Doug believes that. I think it's another example of him trying to think of an excuse to defend his players. It's a bad one. He needs to think of a better excuse.
It's like a flat, because of course it's true. We all know that you needed more reps and all that, but when there are 29 other teams or whatever it is doing the same thing, I mean, you can't, 32 teams, excuse me, when there are 31 other teams, you know, you can't say that.
Well, it's also especially bad to pull out after week two. You know, I mean, like, this is an excuse you would think you would hear, like, next year at OTAs when you ask, like, hey, why did J.J. Arcega-Whiteside suck again? Well, you know, he didn't have a full offseason, right? Like that's a type of excuse that's when you expect to hear it. For Doug to pull it out now, it's not a good look, and it goes back to what we were saying about Doug needing to kind of defend himself better at the podium. But I choose to believe that Doug knows that's not the truth. Like, when Doug is by himself, like, you know, talking to his wife or with his other coaches, like, I choose to believe he knows that's not a valid excuse.
Oh God, I hope you're right. All right, Elliot, I want to get to the 0-2 start and parse some blame out. But quickly, one other thing from Doug's presser, just actual news. We found out that the Isaac Samalo situation, not as hopeful as we first thought. What did Doug have to say about Isaac Samalo when we might see him again?
So Samalu was placed on IR, which this year is only 3 weeks. So a player going on IR doesn't necessarily mean they're gone half the season. But Doug did talk and say that this looks like he's going to be gone for the foreseeable future. Sounds like he's going to be, I would say, 5 weeks, maybe six. I mean, this seems like it's going to be a longer-term injury. The Eagles at practice on Wednesday actually moved Nate Herbig to left guard and put Matt Pryor in at right guard, which is just another, like, confusing move as they've seemed to make this offensive line situation,
why?
Like, as complicated as it. I've no idea. I mean, Matt Pryor was practicing at right guard all off season, obviously, right? Until Peters got there.
Sheil Kapadia was on the midday show today, and he said he thought Nate Herbig was awesome against the Rams.
Yeah.
Like, had a great game. Like, why do you move that guy?
Well, and Lane said he liked playing next to him, and
offensive line continuity is what
you're looking for. And so I don't think that makes any sense to do it. The fact they're doing it on a Wednesday, and it was the first thing Doug brought up when asked about it in his press conference, shows that that's probably the path they're going. But the other reason I don't think it makes any sense is you passed over Matt Pryor like six times in week one when you had a chance to put him up there. Now all of a sudden he's going to start. Like, so that just is another confusing move. So the offensive line, look, overall against the Rams, and now that I've had a chance to rewatch, you know, the game, yeah, they played awesome. Like, they played really well. The offensive line was no excuse for the struggles of the offense on Sunday. So I don't know why you would move Herbig over when You think, I mean, unless maybe you feel he's just going to be your long-term starter there, but Sayamalu is one of only two players. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the other thing is that they must feel much more comfortable with Pryor playing on that side. Like that, my guess is this is more about Pryor sucking and them feeling uncomfortable with him on that side. Maybe it's because they trust Lane more, maybe it than Peters. I mean, who knows what it is, but the only thing that makes any logical sense to me is that they don't feel comfortable for some reason with Pryor at left guard. They feel more comfortable with him at right guard, and Herbig is better, so they're like, all right, Nate, you could do this for us. It's my only guess.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that that's probably the reasoning, and I would guess you're going to agree with what I'm about to say, but I just don't like the idea of weakening at two spots instead of one. Like, if Herbig is already playing really well at right guard, just keep him at right guard, and then, you know, I mean, it is what it is. If Pryor plays well, he plays well. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But, like, I just don't like the decision. But
point real quick too, Elliot, the idea that when Sayamalu comes back, we are assuming, you know, it's a long-term injury, so to speak, but we are assuming he'll be back this year. He's going to slide back into left guard, so then you're just moving Herbig back again, right? I mean, it just doesn't make a ton of sense.
Well, yeah, I agree. That is another part of this. The other bit of news from practice on Wednesday, no DeSean Jackson, no Fletcher Cox practicing. So looks like they're getting the day off.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. What is Fletcher? Yeah. It's not like Fletcher Cox needs practice. He's been playing great, right? I mean,
So I think Fletcher might be hurt. I mean, his back seemed to be bothering him.
He did not look the same, man. He didn't. It would make sense.
No, I'm saying like he had his back wrapped during
the
game.
No, I know.
Sunday.
I'm saying like he didn't. Right. Like after that injury, when he came back into the game, he was like, wasn't even on the field, it felt like. So I'm saying I believe that. That makes sense that there could be something wrong.
Right. And then but with DeSean, like, I don't know, man. This is just like Wednesday's the most important day of practice of the week. Like, I just don't get why he's not out there. And then the game against the Rams, you know, DeSean was basically a non-factor for the first half. And Doug said, well, we had some plays designed for him, but the ball didn't go his way, essentially. Well, maybe that's because he wasn't at practice when you guys were practicing these plays.
Point.
You know, like,
why is he
like
on
maybe
the team?
That's
why. Why is DeSean Jackson here? I mean, why? You're right. You've said this forever, Elliot, and you were dead on. Like, what's the point of even having this guy here at this point?
I mean, look, if they go to 0-3 or like 1-4 or something like that, yeah, I would trade him. I mean, you do save cap space by trading him. I think you save almost $4 million. And look, he can go to a team and theoretically help. Like, if you're the New England Patriots, right? I think DeSean makes sense as somebody to bring there. Like, honestly, the San Francisco 49ers, they could use him. So I think DeSean would have trade value. You know, we'll see what happens against the Bengals, the Niners, and the Steelers. Like, I think that'll really impact what this team does at the trade deadline. But DeSean is at the top of my list of guys that I think makes a lot of sense to trade if this season continues to fall. I would do it either way, but I think there's a more likely chance they do it if this season continues to go how it's going.
Yeah. Look, and again, I think that, and this is the question I want to ask you before, and then we'll parse some lame out, but it's an interesting segue there because, like you just talked about, the idea of could they become sellers and all that. You mentioned before that, you know, at best we can hope for 9 or 10 wins in reality or whatever, and I think that is a very fair statement. If you could redo your 8-8 pick right now, Elliot picked them to go 8-8 this season, I picked 9-7, what would your pick now be? After 2 weeks, and obviously 0-2 factors in, but watching this team and what you expect, whether to rally or not, if you could redo your pick for a season prediction right now, what would it be?
It's a good question. So, as you said, I had him at 8-8. I think this team is worse than what I thought, but I don't think they're as bad as they've looked. And we'll talk about this when we talk about the matchup with the Bengals, but I just don't believe they're an 0-3 team. Like, I don't think this is a 3-13, 4-12 type of season. So I would probably still stick with 8-8, but I would be much closer to like 7 wins. I don't think there's any chance they win 9 games. I'll say that. Like,
so,
I'm
9-7. It's funnier because I'm at like 7-9 now. Like, if you asked me to redo it, I'd say 7-9. You know, and more likely 6 than 9, you know, like for sure. So it is interesting.
Here's a bit of breaking news, actually.
Ooh.
This is legit news.
Ooh.
So we got an injury update. Jalen Reagor, UCL tear in his thumb, similar to what Drew Brees had last year. So, I mean, he's not practicing. So I would assume I don't know enough.
Not like a receiver needs their hands, Elliot, right? I mean, come on.
Right. So, I mean, I would think this means he doesn't play on Sunday.
Oh,
right?
I don't see how. I would think, and I know this kid has been super tough, and I've been very impressed with his toughness so far. But, I mean, that's a month, I would think, or maybe at least a couple weeks, right? I mean, how do you catch?
Well, the difference is with Drew Brees, he had to grip the ball. Obviously, Rager has to grip it in a different way. But, like, I would think he's at least out this week.
No matter, look, he's really tough, and who knows. But I would think, like, is it surgery? Did they say anything about whether surgery is needed?
I don't know. I'm still trying to get that information.
My guess is certainly if it is surgery, he'll definitely be out for the week.
Well, I would also say, like, don't rush him back.
No.
Like, you're already 0-2. He's a rookie. Like, don't mess his hand up for, like, the long run, right? So,
Elliot,
I would
take
the time.
Oh, God. This is just the season of nightmares. This is what it's feeling like. Honestly, in reality, like, it really feels, and I agree with you. I don't think they're a 3-13 team talent-wise. There are enough guys here who've had enough success in the NFL on the coaching staff and on the team where you just find it hard to believe that it could crater that bad. But, man, does it feel like it's cratering that bad, Elliot.
It does. It really does.
It just does. A lot of times, we talk about this in all sports, but a lot of times, particularly in football, heading into a season, you know, there's that team where it just seems like everything's going wrong, and then it all spirals, and everything does go wrong. It could be the Eagles this year. Like, I'm not saying it will be, but it's feeling like that is on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I just don't believe they're 4-12.
Like, I don't see that
happening. Now, that being said, the schedule is very difficult. You know what I mean? Like, so I was sitting down to write, and I'll just let the cat out of the bag now. I think they're going to beat the Bengals. Like, that's my prediction.
Yes.
So I was sitting down to kind of write why I thought that. And I'm not going to lie, it was hard to come up with reasons. Like it's one thing to say, I think they'll beat Cincinnati. But then to actually say why I think is different. And if it's that tough to think of reasons they'll beat Cincinnati, like, they have San Francisco, Pittsburgh,
which
Baltimore.
San Francisco is the one on that list where it could, you know, with all their injuries. I mean, you might not have Garoppolo over that game, all that. Who knows? But keep going.
Yeah, I just think, like, I don't think they'll be 4-12, but I do think, like, the schedule does not lend itself to rebounding. Like, last year and really 2 years ago, the Eagles were able to rebound because of the schedule at the end, right? They got the Texans at home in 2018, which was big. Last year they had, you know, three of the worst teams in football at the end of their schedule, right? So, but you don't have that this year. So that is going to make it far more difficult. And then just, again, these injuries, like Fletcher Cox,
just
I guess
brutal.
He has an oblique injury. He's day to day. So maybe he doesn't play on Sunday.
Elliot.
It's Deshaun's like a planned day off.
Just like
so,
an
you know,
onslaught
no
of sadness right now.
Yeah, no reason for Deshaun to be pushing it right now,
no.
You know?
Like, yeah,
Let's take it easy.
Yeah, who needs him? You know, it's fine. We don't need receivers. Yeah. We're stocked there.
Rudy Ford, week to week with a groin injury.
Sure.
The standout special team star that Doug mentioned first when talking about. So, it's not good.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't know this coming into the pod, so this is some live reaction to the Eagles season falling apart.
Got it.
James
falling
and Elliott.
Apart, Elliott! All right, well, speaking of falling apart, I think that's a perfect segue to talk about why it's falling apart, why they're 0-2, and this is kind of in the theme of the week, and we'll get to the Bengals game in just a few minutes, but quickly, we talked about it a bit after the game on Sunday, but really reacting to the game, but now that we've had a few days to think about it, Elliot, and I think, obviously, there are three primary names that are getting tossed around, and rightfully so. When a team struggles, yes, there are a lot of factors, but ultimately, success in the NFL on a very basic level generally come down to your general manager, your head coach, and your quarterback. Those are the trifecta of most important people on a team and in an organization, other than your owner, of course, who's not going anywhere ever, and we both agree Lori's a good owner. How do you parse this blame out? When you look at these three, and obviously they're all culpable, like we're not having an either-or discussion, but who's most to blame? How much does the blame kind of shift around? How do you look at these three guys right now, and who deserves kind of the blame for where we're at?
I kind of want you to go first because I know your answer.
I'm happy to go first, Elliot.
Yeah, and I know one thing I do know about you. I can tell when you have something ready to go, and I know you've been holding this one because you tweeted it, and you never tweet. So
I never tweet. I tweeted it, and look again. Like I said, I have been, and Elliot, you'll agree. Like I've been more critical of Carson after these two games than I ever am. Right? I mean, I'm a Carson believer, a defender, all that stuff. Like I love the dude. I've believed in his talent, but you can't watch these two games, watch him miss these throws, watch him look so uncomfortable, all this stuff, and not be concerned, not start to ask questions. Same thing with Doug Peterson. I've been critical of Doug after both of these games, and I Love Doug. He's my favorite of the three. We've always said that. You know, I've always believed in Doug the most of the three, and then Carson, and then it comes back to Howie. And yes, he was the one going in who I felt the worst about, but for anyone to say that anyone other than the man who built this roster, the man who had put together a roster of old dudes who aren't that great to begin with, who hasn't drafted talented players on a consistent basis for his entire tenure, where we have no young talent, there's no depth on this team, this roster is poorly put together, and we're seeing the results of it on Sundays. In my mind, there is no question that Howie Roseman is the man who deserves the most blame for this 0-2 start. And ultimately, I think he'll be the last of the three to be gone someday, sadly. But I think he should be out the door before the other two in a second, as far as I'm concerned.
So to me, it's very clearly Carson Wentz. And I know that
Hold on. Let's give the audience a second, because they're so shocked by this answer right now. They need a second to breathe. Okay, we're good. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to go down that path of asking for an apology of being correct.
No, you better not. It's not over yet. Yeah, I'm not done with Carson Wentz.
But here's why I would say it's Carson. Because for Doug to look good, and really for Howie to look good, Carson has to play well. Like, I understand that they all rely on each other, right? Like, Howie picks the players to help Carson. Doug picks the plays. Like, all those things. Doug coaches Carson to be better, in theory. But Carson right now is playing at such a poor level that I don't even know if you can, like, adequately assess the other two. Like, on the defensive side of the ball, that's one thing, because Carson's not involved in that. But I don't know if you can say whether Doug's doing a good job or not play calling, because Carson's playing so poorly. Like, when we did the Rams postgame pod, I said I thought Doug had a lot of blame in that because of just how they played overall, the lifelessness, all those things. But if the Eagles were getting even – during Washington, if they got – you know, even competent play in the second half from Carson, they probably win that game. Against the Rams, they were going to have to be better, right? The Rams scored a lot of points. I think Carson played a role in helping the Rams score some of those points. But regardless, if Carson was even a B quarterback, I think there's a decent chance the Eagles are 2-0 and they're at least 1-1. I don't know if you can say that about, like, personnel moves that have, like, killed them in the first 2 weeks, or like Doug being so bad that that's why they're losing. Like, Carson's been so bad that you can't really assess the other two. And I think when Carson starts to play better, and I believe he will, that I think the moves Howie made and the decisions Doug is making with coaching will start to look better as well.
I think that is true of Doug. I think that if Carson plays better, there are certain things where maybe we won't kill his Doug as much. I will still stand by my criticism of Doug in the sense that I do think it's still a little too vanilla, still a little stale. I know there are certain plays out there to be made, but I need more creativity. You brought Scangarello in. You brought Morningwig in. Shio Kapadia, going back to, you know, one of the smartest football minds out there, said that he has seen nothing new, nothing different in this offense through 2 weeks. Like, nothing. He's like, I don't know what Scango and Morningwig have been doing. Like, I don't know why they're there. Like, I've seen nothing new. It's the exact same thing. Like, that's a problem for me. I don't think that Doug is blameless here. I think that Doug certainly, and like you said too, you're the thing you're criticizing Doug for is also part of it. The lifelessness that they showed up with in that game is a disaster, in considering the importance, considering all that. But I still think that Doug deserves criticism, but I agree with you. I think less than Carson at the moment. I think that Carson, but I also think that part of the thing with Carson too that's frustrating is that a lot of the mistakes he's making and making them years in, like, you can contribute some of that to coaching. I mean, how else do you explain that when John DeFilippo's here and treats Carson the way he did and coaches him hard and all that Carson has the best year of his career? Like, you don't think that has anything to do with it? I think it does. I think it's part of it. His mechanics were better in 2017. He made better decisions in 2017. I think that they're not coaching him hard enough. I think that having Press Taylor there, someone he's buddy-buddy with or whatever, is the wrong decision. And I'm not blaming Doug for that. I'm blaming the organization for that. But I think they need to coach him harder. They need to grill this dude. They need to make him understand that the things he's doing are not acceptable and you can't keep playing football this way. But again, ultimately, Carson is 5 years into his career. He's supposedly a very smart quarterback who processes things quickly, even though we have not seen that as often as I would like to. But on a basic level, you are correct in the sense that Carson has been in this league too long to be making these mistakes, to be missing on these throws, all that type of stuff. But both of those things do not excuse the roster that Howie Roseman has put together, the failures he's had in building young talent, and the future of the franchise that is in a lot more trouble because of Howie Roseman than just right now if they don't start to bring young talented players here and draft better, period.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. I also think that when you're talking about Doug, if you want to talk about blame, I think the point you made about him coaching is a good one. I think he deserves more blame for Carson's regression than he does his actual play calls on Sunday, if that makes sense. Like, in the larger scale, I think Doug's large picture problems are more concerning than like the job he's doing on Sunday. And that's why I still have belief in Doug. Like, I think Doug can still call a good game on Sunday. Now, didn't look good last Sunday. No getting around that. But I still think he can do that. I still think Doug can, you know, build a locker room that's a quality one, even though right now, again, those are issues. So Doug isn't, none of them are doing a good job. But I just think Carson, because of the poor decisions he's making on the field, are making the other two look worse than you know, I think they are at their job.
I get what you're saying. And I do think that in terms of the phrasing of this question, you know, if you want to, I think there is a real argument to be made that Carson Wentz is the biggest reason they're 0-2 right now at this particular second. But I think that if you're asking who's the biggest problem for this franchise now and moving forward, I think Howie Roseman's the answer. So I can, and again, I would still say Howie's the biggest reason for the 0-2 start. I think the roster is the biggest issue with this team. But I'm acknowledging that if we're just talking about the 0-2 start and the two games that Carson has played, you can point to Carson and be like, he's been so bad that, yeah, you know what, they might not be 0-2 if it weren't for Carson. But on a macro scale, in my opinion, Howie Roseman is the biggest problem with the Eagles.
I mean, the only way I'd push back on that is I do have concern about the fact that Carson suffered two injuries and maybe he's just not the same guy,
It's possible. But I think Howie's not the same guy. Howie had 1 year. He had 1 year, man. Like,
yeah,
and
we're doing the whole
it wasn't just a mistake. That might just be his 2017 for Carson Wentz. Like, if that's the thing, and I still believe that Carson can be great and has that in him and has the ability. Like, I'm not where you are with Carson yet. But you have to say the same thing about Howie. What else has Howie ever done? He had one great year.
Look, I think there's a better chance Carson has another season like 2017 than there is a chance Howie has another offseason like 2017.
I agree with you. It's a great way to put it.
So in that way, I guess I would say I'm more down on Howie. My only concern is just Howie, like, there's not the physical part with him. I mean, Carson was hurt. Carson has to perform. Mm-hmm. You know, like, sure. It's just tougher for an athlete. So if you said to me, who would you rather have, like Carson or Howie? There's the argument for keeping Howie just because, I mean, Howie's even young for a GM. Like, he could do this for a long time. But of the three, there's no question in my mind, if I had to pick one to build my team with, I would pick Doug.
Yeah, I think that too. I'm wavering more. It's between him and Carson for me in the sense that I do believe that there is still a great player in Carson in there because we've seen it. Now, to your point, the injuries might be it. That might be it, that we never see that guy again. But what we saw in the last four games last year, I know against bad opponents and what and the physical and whatever type of talents, attributes Carson has, I do think that there can be a great quarterback made out of that. I don't think him and Doug are right for each other. You know, I think that's like something we're learning is him and Doug don't really mesh that well. I think that Doug wants to do one thing, Carson wants to do the other, and Doug wants Carson to fit into his box and Carson wants to fit into his own box, and I don't think it's working right now.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I will say one thing that stuck out to me about Carson over the last two times we've had a chance to speak to him, and it is different over Zoom than it is in person, but he does have the makeup to rebound from this. Like, I don't think Carson, I agree, and I said on the last pod, he is in a mental mess right now. I think everything that's going on is impacting him. But when you hear him talk, especially just honestly compared to other superstars in Philly, I have more confidence in Carson being a superstar than I do probably any other athlete in Philly right now in terms of those superstar guys. Just because, like, I do think he has talent, like, and he has flaws in his game and all that, but I don't know, man. There's just such a difference in what Carson has to deal with as a quarterback of the Eagles and there is every other player. Like, Aaron Nola doesn't have a good game in a huge spot. And, like,
great point.
People talk about it, but it's not really that big of a deal.
It's nothing close,
right?
Like, to the quarterback of the Eagles. Yeah. Nothing is
close.
And
I think Carson does such a good job handling it that it does make me believe in him more than like from watching him play, if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's a really interesting answer. And do you think that's part of being the quarterback of a NFL franchise? And certainly in this city is like, obviously you got to be good on the field and you got to win and all that, but like you also have to be good at that other stuff. And that also is
it's critically important.
It's critically important. And it adds to how you are in the locker room. Do you guys believe in you? You know, how good are you at understanding social dynamics and all that type of stuff? I think is actually incredibly important. Like I've always said that I think that 70, 80% of a quarterback's success happens above the shoulders in one form or another. And whether it's on the field processing all that type of stuff or the ability to lead, the ability to get guys to believe in you, to follow you, to do what you need them to do. And then on top of that, how you represent the franchise. It's a lot. It's a lot to be a professional quarterback in the NFL and to be a leader of a franchise. It's a lot.
And that's why I think Carson is struggling as much as he is now, right now. Because I do think mentally he's in a bad place. Yeah. But he just, when he talked, he's very good at taking a lot of blame while also like exuding confidence. And I think that is important as a face of the franchise.
That's a really interesting observation. All right, one more thing before we get to the Bengals. And obviously, we're not going to go too nitty-gritty on the Bengals game, but we will look at the matchups and preview it. But quickly, last thing, because...
Also, I have a surprise game for you. Yeah, so get your phone ready.
I love surprise games. The phone is ready. Last thing before we get to that, Jim Schwartz taking a lot of heat this week, and rightfully so. We ripped the D. We thought they did horrible in that game. But Schwartz took a lot of it on himself, which, you know, I appreciate. What do you think about the heat Schwartz is getting? And obviously for the large group of people who never liked Jim Schwartz, which I don't get personally, you know, we both have been Jim Schwartz fans. I'm surprised by that always, but there are a large group, or at least a loud minority, if nothing else, of people who hate Jim Schwartz. Those people have certainly been reveling in it. But what do you think of the heat on Schwartz right now and then how he handled it?
So I'm going to say a statement, and you tell me if it's true or false, in your opinion. Mm-hmm. Jim Schwartz has done more to help the Eagles win since 2016 than Carson Wentz has.
Maybe. It's a very interesting statement. I think it's an arguable statement, for sure.
So I'm not saying that to kind of like to get at Carson. What I am saying is I think that sometimes it's lost how much Schwartz has done to help this Eagles team. Like, he was really bad versus last week against the Rams. He got out coached flat out, no denying it. He was one of, if not the top reason they lost that game. But I also think that like sometimes the Eagles defense will have a great game and it gets overshadowed by maybe the offense playing well or other things. Since 2016, when Carson got here and Doug got here and Schwartz got here, the Eagles have held their opponent to under 30 points. Oh, sorry. I'm going to say this again. The Eagles have held their opponent to under 20 points 30 times. They're 28-2 in those games. When the Eagles defense has given up over 21 points, so 21 or more, they're 11-20. Like, you can make an argument that this team really only wins when the defense plays well. They very, very rarely win when they have to win a shootout. They're 3-6 when he gives up over 30 points. They're, like I said, 11-20 when it's over 21. Like, asking this team to win a game when your defense gives up more than 20 points should not be hard. They have, in theory, a top five offensive head coach, like a franchise quarterback. They have an owner that prioritizes the offensive side of the ball. The Eagles are an offensive organization. That's what they believe in. But the results have not been there. Like, this team really only wins when the defense plays well. They don't win when the offense has to get the job done. And I think that's an important distinction to make when people get really mad at Schwartz. Like, you have to remember, he's also one of the main reasons they win any games at all. Like, yes, when defense gets shredded, it looks bad. And I understand why it's, like, tough to watch. Like, last year against Minnesota, this past Sunday against the Rams. But the majority of times, like, Jim Schwartz's defense plays pretty well, and they're why the Eagles win.
Look, I think Jim Schwartz has been the most consistent coach, you know, we've had in a long time. I think Jim Schwartz is an outstanding outstanding NFL defensive coordinator. We are lucky to have him. We are lucky to have had him. I've never understood the Jim Schwartz hate. Yes, he can be stubborn sometimes. Yes, sometimes his third down defense is a little frustrating. Yes. Sometimes we want him to adjust more and blitz more. But on the whole, like, if you're looking at it holistically and looking at the the sum rather than the parts. Jim Schwartz has done an amazing job for the Eagles, and that's just that.
Yeah. What do you think of the numbers? What do you think of those numbers I told you? I think they're pretty telling, right? I
mean, yes. I was surprised. It's impressive stuff. You know, again, he has done a great job here. I don't know how else to put it. I have all the faith in Jim Schwartz as defensive coordinator. And look, like we just talked about, but he came out and owned it. He's like, I sucked on Sunday. He's like, I got out-coached. I got beat. Like, respect. You know, what else do you want from the guy? That's how I feel.
Did a better job than Doug did at the podium.
Like a lot
I'll say that.
We getting a lot better. And he's always been someone who speaks his mind. You know, we all remember the dumbass comment with Nigel Bradham and all that. He's very, very honest, it seems. But I appreciate it. All right, Eagles-Bengals preview in just a second. But as we always tell you, and as we'll continue to tell you, you have to download the Parx Sportsbook app. We have had so much fun this season going back and forth, talking about these games and who to bet on, what to bet on, all this stuff. And it has been, it's been a blast. It's easy to use. It's fun. Elliot, we've had a lot of fun with the lines doing our picks podcast every week. A few of the best ones out there. Elliot, I know that you're probably feeling pretty good about the Eagles this week. We're going to dive into that later. Of course, you can get Philadelphia football team a -6 favorite this week. Elliot, any jumping off the page to you when you look at the lines for this weekend? Any one line stick out to you as your favorite?
Well, as you know, I love betting against the Jets. So even at 10.5 point underdogs, you know, I think you can always count on Adam Gase to be an absolute disaster. I would also say that Kansas City, you know, at Baltimore, probably the game of the weekend, but 3.5 points, I don't know. Like, that's a toss-up, but I think the Chiefs are pretty good, obviously. And, like, that to me, that just stuck out as a low line. So
yeah, game of the weekend, maybe game of the year, right? I mean, Kansas City and Baltimore, that is a serious one. And that's the beautiful thing is you can bet on all of these games with Parx Casino. We love the home team, and that's why we have the home field advantage when it comes to betting. With our sports betting app of choice, Parx Casino Sportsbook are right here in the Delaware Valley, right here in Bucks County. That means that your action and your money are safe and secure on their easy-to-use Parx Casino Sports Betting app, the only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania, the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Bet with the best. Now, here's the deal. Sign up now, and you get a free bet, risk-free bet of up to $500, a risk-free bet of up to $500. Just download the app or go to parxcasino.com/PA. That's P-A-R-X casino.com/PA and use the promo code GOBIRDS. That's G-O-B-I-R-D-S to get your risk-free bet of up to $500. The website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. You must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Elliot, let's get to it.
All right.
Eagles-Bengals, baby. Yeah. So much history.
Man.
Last time the Eagles played the Bengals, we thought it was Doug Peterson's swan song in his first year as head coach.
That's a good point. I forgot about that.
I know. 32-14, I think, was the score. Got boat raced. The Zach Ertz, no block. We'll remember that. That was the last time they played the Bengals, Elliot.
So the timing's not great for this matchup.
No.
We can agree on that.
No.
Wow, I did not think about that. But the other timing is, and this has to do with the game. I came up for this preview thing. Did you know that today is the 20-year anniversary of Remember the Titans coming out?
I did not. Look at you.
As a big movie buff, you should not be surprised that I did know that. So, all-time great movie, obviously. One of my favorite sports movie of all time. So here's what I did.
Okay.
So if you remember 2 weeks ago for the season opener.
Yes.
We did. I came up with 6 songs from Hamilton, and you had to pick the song title that related to the matchup.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
I came up with 6 sports movies.
Oh!
And I'm going to send them to you now.
Oh,
so 6
I love
titles.
This. Love, love,
and
love
you
this.
You have to say which one you think best correlates to the matchup. So for everyone listening.
Oh, I love this. This is terrific.
You guys can play along. Here are the movies I came up with. Miracle, Any Given Sunday, Moneyball, Friday Night Lights, The Longest Yard, and When We Were Kings. Do you want to guess which of those I haven't seen, by the way?
The Longest Yard.
Or no, When We Were Kings. Well, I saw the one with
Adam I was going to say, I bet you saw the Adam Sandler one, which was trash. The original Longest Yard is an amazing movie. I'm guessing you've never seen When We Were Kings.
I have not. I didn't know if you would know which one that is.
Yes, I know When We Were Kings. Great movie.
Okay. All right. So those are the movies. We'll go through the matchups. I have written down which one I think best correlates. So we'll start with the Eagles offensive line versus the Bengals defensive line.
Okay. So the Eagles offensive line. It's always the first one's always tough because I'm like trying to look at all the matchups and try and quickly.
Yeah.
All right. So Eagles offensive line versus the Bengals defensive line. Let's go with, and then we're looking at the other matchups here as I'm stalling and trying to put this together quickly. So are these from the Eagles perspective, not the Bengals perspective?
Yeah, from the Eagles. I mean, it's an overall theme, but I would say mostly from the Eagles perspective.
Okay, good. All right, then let's go with, I'm going to say this is Friday Night Lights.
That's not the one. Sorry. Oh, I didn't go with that one.
Disaster.
All right, so I
had no good reason for guessing Friday Night Lights. It laid on me.
Yeah. All right. I went with Miracle for this one. And the reason I went with that is because it feels like it's going to take a miracle for this offensive line to give them consistent play. Yet somehow they're doing it. Like last week, they were really good. You have another injury you're dealing with this week. I don't necessarily think you're going to need a miracle against this Bengals defensive
line.
That's
what threw me off. That's why I was thinking well, they don't need a miracle against them. This isn't the best defensive line.
Right. They're really not. I mean, Carlos Dunlap, I guess, is maybe their best one. DJ Reader, Sam Hubbard. They have zero sacks combined in the first four games and just one quarterback hit. So they've got basically no pressure on the opposing quarterback. I mean, we saw what Baker Mayfield did to them, and Baker's not good at all. So we saw that Baker, you know, if you give a quarterback a clean pocket, they should have a good day. I just think the miracle part I picked is like this offensive line. Again, another injury they're dealing with now with Sayamalu, and you're going to have to potentially move Herbig over. So the line to me, it's just like a miracle that they're playing well. And, you know, I don't know if you're going to need a miracle against the Bengals, but again, another injury. So this is a matchup, though, I think really benefits the Eagles. And probably the first matchup, first time all year, they've had the advantage on both sides of the line.
Oh, what a beautiful thing. We're back to the good old days, Elliot.
Yeah.
Dominating
like
in the trenches.
Ago.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Which is funny because, and I agree with that. That is a good breakdown. I was thinking a miracle, like we're going to need a miracle to do well against these guys flipping around the other way, but I like the way you played it. But that leads us to the next matchup. And my thought, now that you're talking about this, the Eagles defensive line versus the Bengals O-line, which we both agree is a massive advantage for the Eagles defensive line because the Bengals O-line is absolutely horrible, like a really, really bad, one of the worst O-lines in football. So I'm going to go with When We Were Kings because we're going to feel like the D-line were kings again for a day.
That's a good one, but that's not what I picked.
So, I got so excited about it.
So for this one, I picked Moneyball because, look, they've invested so much money in this defensive line, right? Like Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson. Now, maybe Fletcher doesn't play on Sunday, but Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, Brandon Graham, Javon Hargrave. Like, they have given a lot of money to these guys to dominate matchups exactly like this. As you said, this Bengals offensive line is terrible. They really don't have a good offensive lineman. Jonah Williams gave up 7 pressures so far this season. Bobby Hart, their other tackle, 9 pressures and a sack. They're 26th overall in pass blocking, according to Pro Football Focus. There is not a single position on the offensive line where the Eagles' defensive line should not be able to dominate. This is the game where you earn all that money. Joe Burrow, rookie quarterback, like, get him on the move. He is pretty mobile, I will say. But, like, get him on the move, rat him a little bit, earn that money that you're being paid. Eagles defensive line, I did not think had a good game against the Rams and really weren't that special overall against Washington either. So this is a big time matchup for them. This is where they prove they can still dominate. And that's why I picked Moneyball.
Okay. I like it. I like it.
Makes sense for you?
It does. I think When We Were Kings was pretty good too for that, but I like it. It's good work.
Okay.
All right. I'm doing a terrible job guessing.
I'm guessing
it
seems
so
like you like this matchup as well for the Eagles.
I love it. That's why I said When We Were Kings, they're going to be dominating like the good old days back when they were kings of the defensive line. You like that?
There we go.
I thought it was a very good little way of spinning that in. We got some great responses last time you did this of people like really breaking down. There was one you sent me where someone talking about the Skylar Scissors had like a really in-depth.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah. Like an in-depth breakdown of why Doug Peterson with the Skylar Sisters or whatever. It was awesome. I was really impressed by that. So,
well, hopefully we get the same stuff for this.
Yeah, because I'm not doing a good job so far. So we're going to.
No, you're 0-2. You're doing terrible.
I feel pretty good about my guess on the next one. So let's find out. Eagles skill guys versus the Bengals back seven. I'm going to go with the longest yard because it feels like it's so hard to get a yard right now. Tell me I'm right, please.
There you go, buddy. Yes! There you go. You got it.
We did it. I'm so excited.
And that's it. And that's exactly why. I think when you talk about this Eagles skill position, when you look at the Bengals back seven, now I will say no Jalen Reagor is obviously a blow. He's been their best wide receiver, I think, so far. DeSean Jackson's essentially a non-factor through two games. So that is a major blow. But when you look at the Cincinnati back seven, they're just not very good. Like Darius Phillips is not good at all. Mackenzie Alexander is okay. William Jackson is not very good. Their safeties are okay. Like their linebackers are not that great. I mean, they are susceptible to being beat. Like Miles Sanders should be able to win his matchup against the linebackers in the passing game when that happens. I would say even Greg Ward, Mackenzie Alexander, like that's a matchup I don't think is outrageous for the Eagles to win. So I do think the Eagles, with the combination of if Carson has time in the pocket, which I think we both believe he will, combined with not a great secondary for Cincinnati, like they should be able to gain yards. And I'll also say for the longest yard, like go deep. Now, not having Jalen Reagor does hurt, but they had 8 deep attempts against Washington, only 2 against Los Angeles. Like if you're going to tell me about all this speed you have and this and that, you can't let a team completely take it away from you in the second game of the season. Like how good were your offseason additions really if in week number 2, you're already being forced not to go deep? This is a Bengals team you should be able to go deep against. You should be able to get those long yards. So I think longest yard was I know it was the right one because you picked it. That's how I knew off the jump.
Oh, it was a great one. I love when I get it right. So far, 1 for 3. So not great. So the movies we have left, we have Any Given Sunday, When We Were Kings, and Friday Night Lights. And we have 3 matchups left. So I feel pretty confident about what I think 2 of the matchups should be. And we have the Eagles back 7 versus the Bengals skill guys. So because I have my spin for what I think the last 2 are going to be, I'm going to go, and I don't know if it's right because my spin is a little weird, but I'm going to go with When We Were Kings for this one. Mostly, and I guess it's wrong, but I'm going to explain to you after why I had the other 2 movies for the next 2.
Okay, so it is wrong. It is wrong.
Is it Friday Night Lights? Is that the other one?
It's Any Given Sunday.
Oh! Here's why I picked that. I am surprised. I was going to go Burrow Wentz. I'll explain why, but go ahead.
All right, I think this is an interesting matchup, and I think the name Any Given Sunday applies to both. I do believe that the Eagles secondary has some skill, and I honestly even feel that about the linebackers. I'm bigger on Nate Gary than other people. I know I'm riding that to the death, and I'm probably not going to end up looking good with that. But I think that like Jalen Mills has potential at safety. I think Darius Slay, we've seen what he can do. I think that in certain weeks, like this secondary can be very good. I also think that the Bengals skill players on Any Given Sunday are kind of dangerous.
Like, right. I like where you're going here.
Yeah, I kind of like T. Higgins going into the draft, as we know. I still believe in John Ross. Like he had, I think, 7 touchdowns last year. AJ Green's been a little hit or miss, but he's healthy and he's playing, right? And I'll say this, like if you look at a reason why the Eagles could lose this game, Giovanni Bernard and Joe Mixon are 2 very good pass catching backs that could potentially cause problems for this team. What is good is they're starting a tight end, CJ Uzoma, I think is how you pronounce it.
I think it was Uzoma.
Uzoma, okay. Well, he's out. So they're very thin at tight end. So the Bengals skill position players are not like at this point consistently great, but I do think they can cause problems. And when you combine that with the uncertainty of the Eagles secondary, I just don't really know who I think has an advantage here. And I think on Any Given Sunday, it could go either way. I don't really feel confident picking who has the edge here.
All right. I like that. I was going to use Any Given Sunday for Wentz and Burrow for the same reason that, you know, like any of these guys could show up. Look, Burrow looked better last week than Wentz did. And, you know, you would expect Wentz to be the better quarterback, but you know, Burrow has shown that on a Sunday he can be better already. But I think that's an even better answer for it. So good job there. I agree with you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's good. It makes a lot of sense. Tyler Boyd's really good, underrated receiver, and they've got talent there. All right, our last 2, the big time 2, Wentz versus Burrow, Peterson versus Zach Taylor. So as I already explained, I was thinking Any Given Sunday for Wentz versus Burrow, but if not, I'm assuming it's When We Were Kings.
Yes, it's When We Were Kings. And the reason I picked that is because These are both players that have been at the top of their profession in a lot of ways, right? I mean, Joe Burrow was the best college quarterback last year. We all saw the picture of him smoking that cigar with the championship trophy. Like, and we were texting during the matchup against Cleveland. Like, I do believe Joe Burrow has that it factor. Like, you can tell, I believe he's going to be a winning quarterback. I think doing it in Cincinnati might be tough, but just watching him, I think he throws a great ball.
Watching him get us that cover, Elliot.
Yeah, watch him get that cover. That's exactly right. But I think he throws a great ball. He's accurate. It's so noticeable when he puts two hands on the ball when he moves in the pocket, especially after watching Carson. So I think Joe Burrow has a very high ceiling. And honestly, the same goes for Carson. Like, we talked at the beginning of the pod about how I think a lot of this is mental with him right now. I think that this is a big bounce back week for Carson. This is a week where he can get things right. Carson in his career has never had three games in a row where his quarterback rating was, or his pass rating was under 75. He's at two now. So I think that there's a good shot that he has a bounce back week, especially for the reasons we've talked about with the, you know, the matchups with the line and all that. And I think that the Bengals secondary is not very good. But I also just think this is a big, like, bounce back, get right game for Carson. And then we'll see how he goes from here on out. The accuracy issues are still there. I think those are going to be harder to bounce back from than just 1 week. But I think that this could be a good game for Carson. So I think when we were kings, like a reminder of, like, Joe Burrow was a king. Carson for that 1 year in 2017 was, I think that that's the most appropriate title.
I agree. It makes all the sense in the world to me. I think that's a very good answer. Like I said, I was going to go any given Sunday, but when we were kings is even better. Which means, in reality, I'm getting these last two right just because I ran out of options, but I really only got two right this whole time because this whole time I was thinking, once we got Friday Night Lights wrong earlier, I was thinking Friday Night Lights for Peterson versus Taylor, because Zach Taylor is a child who might be in high school, much less coaching in the NFL. Was that the right deduction?
Well, so that's very good reasoning. It's not why I picked Friday Night Lights, but that is true. Let me say this off the jump. Doug Peterson has no business losing to a Zach Taylor head coach football team.
Oh, my God, no.
None. Like,
it's like Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights going up against some nobody.
Yeah, I just think, you know, you could talk yourself into Ron Rivera being a better head coach than Doug. I don't believe he is, but you could talk yourself into it. Sean McVay, obviously after last week, I think that's a discussion that maybe people in Philly don't want to have yet, but, like, that's potentially a discussion.
Yeah.
There is no excuse for Doug to lose to Zach Taylor. If Doug is still one of the elite head coaches in the league, he will win this game. Like, I don't care about the poor quarterback play, all that. Like, you should be able to overcome poor performances from your team this week and still win that game. And the other reason I think Friday Night Lights applies is Doug's got to, like, bring the fire back to his team this week. Like, we all love Friday Night Lights, those famous, like, Coach Taylor speeches before the game, at halftime, all that stuff. Like, rile your guys up, get them ready. This is a week where Doug has to win this game for them. He's a better head coach. He has to make sure his team's mentally prepared. He has to make sure they don't, like, you know, give up after starting 0-2. He has to have them come out with that fire. There won't be fans, so they have to do it themselves. Like, this is a huge Doug game, and so, that Coach Taylor magic from Doug this week.
I love it. I love that. And I agree with you. Like, when you look at all these, and we both agree in the trenches, those are legitimate mismatches. Like, even as banged up as Eagles' offensive line is, they're better than the Bengals' defensive line. Certainly, this Eagles' defensive line, even without Fletcher Cox, is significantly better than this Bengals' O-line. But there is no matchup that we talked about today, no matchup on the field on Sunday that is close to as much of a mismatch as Doug Peterson versus Zach Taylor. And if it doesn't play out that way, that's bad, man. I mean, that's bad
it's
on
really
many
bad.
Levels, but it's bad from just that one perspective. Like, if Doug loses to Zach Taylor at home 0-2 into 0-3, I mean, you have to put it, no matter how it plays out, and it could be gut-wrenching, it could be a blowout, whatever, it's one of the worst losses Doug Peterson has ever had if he loses on Sunday.
It'll probably be his worst loss.
Yeah, it might
be
his worst loss. It really might be, yeah.
Now, let me ask you, speaking of Zach Taylor, as we all know, brother of Press Taylor, who's Carson's best friend, quarterback coach.
Yes.
Any worry about that? Like, maybe Zach and Press talk, like, in the offseason, and
no.
I don't know.
Like, Press like, just let something great, drop. Oh, Carson, if you do this one thing, he's got no chance.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, it sounds crazy, but who knows? They're
no,
in the
you're
off
right.
Season
who knows? Who knows? I would not think so, but who knows? It is it's something. It is an interesting
something to think about.
something to consider. All right, E, it's time, and we'll get some reviews in a sec, and you know, finish up with our final thoughts and all that. But it is time. It is that time, Elliot. Prediction.
Best time of the week.
Prediction time, Elliot. It is prediction time. And the Eagles, currently, and we're obviously picking win-loss, but also we'll throw it in there, Park Sportsbook Casino app, they are a six-point favorite right now at home. I believe it opened at 6.5, is maybe going down to 6. They are a relatively solid favorite, you would say, at home on Sunday versus the Bengals. Elliot, what happens?
Well, you know, only two teams this week are favored by more points than the Eagles are. So, obviously, Parks Casino is still in on the Eagles. I have no business picking this team to win by as much as I'm going to pick them to win by. I think the Eagles win 27-17. I think the offense bounces back. I think this is Jim Schwartz is 5-1 in his career with the Eagles against rookie quarterbacks. Now, he's played bad rookie quarterbacks, but he's still 5-1. I think the Bengals are not going to be able to score on this defense. I think the defense does have a bounce back week. And I think the offense, like as bad as it's looked and as bad as Carson has played, they have been able to put together some drives. They just kind of shoot themselves in the foot at the end. I think that this feels like a week where at the end of it, we're going, okay, you know what? They're 1-2, like blah, blah, blah. You slowly talk yourself back into it. This feels like a bounce back game to me. Picking the win by 10 points is crazy considering how bad they have played and how much we think that this is a bad season. I don't know if I would bet them to cover. I actually think in a lot of ways, the Bengals plus 6 is the smarter move, but my prediction is Eagles 27, Bengals 17.
Yeah. Bengals plus 6 is absolutely the smart bet. And even though I agree with everything you said, rationale wise, like this is a game the Eagles not only should win, but they should win without us sweating too much. Like they should blow out the Bengals at home at 0-2. Season realistically on the line, considering their schedule. Like, this is a legitimately a must-win game. We talked about last week being a must-win game with their schedule coming up. This is absolutely, legitimately a must-win game for this team. You look at the numbers, the team that go 0-3 and their chances to make the playoffs, like, they have to win this game against the Bengals at home. And I think they do, Elliot. But I can't lay 6 points. I just can't. And they should blow them out. But if I'm betting my money and I'm not betting this game, but I have to bet on the Bengals. I have to. It is the smart bet. The Bengals have played good football so far compared to what we expected. Joe Burrow's real. I think the Eagles win. I think the Eagles win something like 28-24 or something. I think that's what I said last week. 28-23. It's going to be in that range. I think it'll be a close game. I think they win. But I don't see them blowing someone out right now. As much as I want them to, as they should. They should blow them out. And hopefully we're talking on Sunday after the game. All right, Eagles handle business. Let's get back in this. They're 1-2. Guess what? Dallas lost to Seattle. Everyone's 1-2. Let's roll, you know? But I think it's going to be closer. I don't know how I could possibly think anything else right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I will say that, you know, like Schwartz has played 6 rookie quarterbacks during his time as Eagles defensive coordinator. The only good rookie quarterback he faced, he lost to, which was Dak. I mean, he beat Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, Luke Falk, Mitchell Trubisky, and C.J. Beathard. So it's not, you know, he has not played good rookie
quarterbacks. Not a murderer's row of rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah. But, look, the Eagles could lose this game. Like, they could definitely lose this game. I mean, the Eagles are not a good team right now. You're not going to have Jalen Reagor. I think that's a big deal. I do think no Fletcher Cox also matters because Javon Hargrave was, like, a ghost against the Rams, and he's still bouncing back. So you really only have Malik Jackson at that point. So this is a game they could lose. I mean, the Bengals, for what it's worth, like, when you watch the Eagles, you come away thinking, man, that is just not a good team. When you watch the Bengals, you come away thinking that team plays hard and is like kind of better than you would think. Now, expectations play into that, but I don't know, man. Just I'm not ready to say this Eagles season is completely over. And I think they more so than need a win. They need like a performance of saying, okay, like maybe things aren't as bad. And just from like my gut tells me this is one of those games where the Eagles get people to talk themselves back into it. So that's why I'm picking to win by 10. But neither of us should go into this game thinking they have as much of a chance to lose to the Bengals as we do.
100%. 100%. All right. As we mentioned before, if we get to 2,000 five-star reviews, and now we are at 1,312, so we've gotten a fair amount since we last...
Yeah, we had like 30 last
That is
week.
Awesome. You all rule. We can't tell you how much we appreciate it. It helps people find the pod and all that. And again, you get to see us take the SATs, and we could even maybe set up another bet. And we have all kinds of bets going that we need to work on.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll bet on that too and have some sort of extra fun thing that comes out of it for you. But we need 2,000 five-star reviews. We're going to go sit in a high school classroom and take the SATs like morons.
So ridiculous.
It's going to be great. So shout out to the reviews. Please leave us a review. Again, you don't have to leave five stars. It's just you don't get to move the needle towards the SAT unless you do. We're only asking for five stars. But if you want to leave us a less than five stars review, it'll break our hearts, but we'll take them. You know, whatever you want to do.
Still, it really does hurt. Just leave the five star.
Yeah, or just don't. You know, either don't. We'd rather
you
didn't.
Yeah, or don't leave a review.
Yeah,
just don't leave a review, honestly.
But again,
if you're not going to leave five stars, don't leave a review.
Yeah, five stars only, I think is our general.
Yeah. Honestly, that's just keep it as real as I can. Do not leave a review. I hate when I get a four-star review. I'm like, all right, like, I get you have an issue. Address it in the comment section and just leave five stars. So.
Yes. What Elliot said. All right, we got some good ones just to read a couple. Just shout out people sending them in. Doug P for president said, Elliot, just walk your dog. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Just walk your dog, man.
Kingsley's diet seems to be going well. We are going to take him on a walk today in a park where we like let him off his leash and he can run around. We took him out on Saturday and he played with like other dogs. So we have been doing a better job.
Good.
So Kingsley's getting some more work. Yes.
Good. Good. Fernie Byrne, a great point. If Elliot scores lower than James on the SATs, he should write an apology letter to Carson Wentz and post it on Twitter.
Well, I will not be doing
maybe
that.
Maybe not the best week
I will
for
not
that,
be scoring
right?
lower on the SATs, or I will not be writing an apology
one
letter
of those
to
two things is definitely happening. And I don't think you're writing an apology letter. ADT230 says, must listen every time. Thank you for that. ESP, I defend you to all my friends, touting that you are only, quote unquote, slightly slanted against Carson. I don't think you're slanted at all. You're just real. It's okay.
It's amazing how many people tell me that they defend me against their friends. Like, I would say I probably get 2 to 3 DMs a week of people saying that. And I appreciate
it. Like, how often are you coming up in conversation, Elliot?
Well, I mean, I'm the beat writer you need. So.
Connor Nod says, Doug's lack of enthusiasm for coaching to Wentz's strengths combined with his enthusiasm towards Jalen Hurts' pick is writing on the wall. He's shown he can win without Carson. If I had to get rid of Doug or Carson, I'm trading Carson.
Not sure what to say about that one.
Thanks for the review.
Let's see another episode.
All right, you're going
to. I think his read on it. I think Doug seems very frustrated with Carson.
All right, you're going to have to read Sharp Slides because I'm embarrassed to read that myself.
Yeah, you don't want to read it. I mean, look, he came through. He said what we all think during the pod.
Man.
Says he has a man crush on James Seltzer. And let's be honest here, can you blame him? So,
thank
you for finally saying what we're all thinking right there.
You are way
too
kind.
I will go ahead and read all the names of the other people because it's one of my least favorite things to do each week because they're so hard to pronounce, but I feel like I owe it to them.
And that's the point. If you do your five-star review, like you can come up with something ridiculous that Elliot Asri, and he'll read it.
Oh, it's insane. So, okay, Frightmare21, Go Birds Guy, T-Dub7, NRU Smack 14, Shane B118, Cells, CW
Terry 25. You gotta extend those Z's. Cells.
Yeah. Cells, CW Terry 25, Mike B 1989.
Mike underscore B underscore 1989. Get it right.
Do you want to read them?
No, I'm
buddy?
Just having fun with you. Okay. Go ahead.
MJ Don, NINJ 5, Stefan 1994, Papalicious, David DeGod, Don McGeary, Eagles 1221, Who on That Beat, Sean O from Philly, Trap Music, A Durr, and our good friend that seems to leave quite a bit of comments, Indiana Eagle. So
shout out to
everybody.
Don McGeary is actually my friend. If it's the same Don McGeary, what up, Donnie? It's my dude. Love
Donnie.
He
is a man.
We waited tables together in high school, me and Donnie McGeary. It was a blast. Or not high school, excuse me, college. In college together. Great guy.
So here's a funny story. So I was, we can end the pod on this one. So I was a like a busboy for a lot of years, like at a restaurant, right? And I was then at one point promoted at Waterworks Restaurant to a water boy where I would serve the nice water, right? But at one point at the restaurant, I'm like chilling in the back of the restaurant. I'm on my phone. I definitely shouldn't be on my phone. The boss comes up to me and goes, this is why you'll never be a waiter, and walks away. And you know what?
Oh my God.
They were right. I was never a waiter.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was a busboy my entire like restaurant career.
Wow.
So,
well,
not all of us can be a waiter, James. Yeah. You had the nice subtle brag there about being a waiter.
Yes, it's my my most impressive accomplishment. I think everyone should wait tables. I honestly, truly believe that you learn more about people and interacting with people and understanding people waiting tables than in most jobs out there, because you have to deal with all kinds of different people and potentially in annoyed or stressful situations or all this stuff, and learning how to deal with them and interact with them, I do think is a really valuable life experience. So if you're looking for a job, waiting tables ain't too bad.
I would agree. What I would say, though, is one pet peeve of mine is when I'm at a restaurant, a waiter's taking my order and they don't write it down.
Oh,
I'm
like, yeah. I always wrote it down. I hated that. It's like, just write it down. Like, I don't care if you have the best memory ever. Just, what's the big deal? Just write it down just in case.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't know, like, who are you impressing? Like, I get that. Like,
I'm with you. I'm with you.
You know,
preach, my friend. Preach.
I'm sure it's very difficult. I will say it's impressive if you do it correctly.
Sure.
But it's not impressive enough to the point where I'm like leaving a tip and I'm like, you know what? They didn't write down my order.
Totally.
I'm gonna give them an extra.
Totally.
You know,
like, and again, it's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's impressive and all that. And look, maybe if you're awesome at it and 99 out of 100 times you don't mess up, that one time is worth it to not do it. Like, that's
Agreed.
It. Like, one time, one situation where you're the asshole who didn't write things down, the whole table's thinking they're gonna fuck my order up. I know it. They're going to screw it up.
Specific. So, and look, obviously, even though I was never a waiter, I respect the profession. It is hard to do.
I was never capable of doing it. Yeah.
But just it's a pet peeve.
Just write it down. I agree. As a former waiter, I co-sign that. All right. One last thing before we get out of here, a final thought. And, you know, Elliot and I have talked a lot about a lot of the issues going on in this country right now. And we've said that, you know, we're not going to be shy about talking about them when it's needed. And the news was just released that the killers of Breonna Taylor, the police officers who barged into her home and murdered her, are not getting charged for that murder. One of them, the actual one who did kill her, is being charged for a lesser crime that has a 1 to 5 year sentence. I believe maybe a max of 7, I've seen some places. But obviously, woefully short of what these people should be charged with. Again, they murdered a woman in her house. A woman was murdered in her house. Imagine you're at home in your house in your bed and cops barge in and shoot you. And that's what happened. And no one is getting charged. I don't know. It's just another one of these moments where I feel incredibly let down by the country I live in, by the systems in place, by the situation we're in. It's just, it's important to not only talk about these things, but to do things about it, to try and, again, small steps, incremental steps, whatever we could do, because yet again, another example of how far away we are from where we need to be. This is simply outrageous, Elliot.
Yeah, I think you put it perfectly. I would also say tie it to sports. I remember a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, when Malcolm Jenkins raised his fist during the anthem and people talked about it for so long. Like each week it was a story. What's Malcolm going to do? Is he going to put his fist up? What are the other players going to do? Like what's going to happen? And in week one, the entire Eagles team stayed inside for the anthem. And it was a story, but it wasn't as big of a story as like it would have been 2 years ago. I think as we all watch sports and you see the players using their platform to raise awareness of these things. I mean, you know, how many players both in the NBA, the NFL, all sports really have brought up like arrest the murderers of Breonna Taylor, right? I think that sometimes we run a risk of becoming numb to it. And like you see the stuff on the court, you know, Black Lives Matter in the NBA, you see the end zones that the NFL has messages. I would just encourage people, and I think that's why we decided to bring it up on the pod today. Like you can't become numb to it. And, as you said, like do something about it. And it's just disappointing to see this news come out for sure.
Yeah. It's it's not surprising. Sadly, that's the country that we live in. I'm not surprised that they did not charge her killers, but I'm outraged by it. I'm upset by it. I'm hurt by it. And what I feel is nothing compared to what all the people who've had to go through these types of things feel. You know, and then on the heels of watching the George Floyd video and the Jacob Blake thing, and like, it's just, again, and I think your point is really strong and well taken, in the sense that these athletes and other people are using their platforms to try and address these issues, to try and create change, to try and do things about this. And it keeps happening again and again and again. It keeps happening. And if we get numb to it, if we just, you know, allow it to happen and to pass by and just be a news cycle and, you know, and just wait for the next time something happens to get outraged or to do things, then of course it's going to happen again. You know, and that's the country we're in, the systemic racism that we have in this country that we've had for years. And since our inception, our country is built on racism. Like, I mean, come on, let's be real about it. So, you know, and I understand that those things are not going to get broken down in a day, in an hour, in a week, in a month. But we need to continue to fight against it and continue to take these small incremental steps like we talked about with the athletes, the NBA, when they shut down the last time we talked about this, and them shutting down in the moment. You know, what kind of tangible results could it have? Well, it turns out that every NBA stadium or arena is going to be open as a polling place for voting.
Yes.
Like,
yep.
There are tangible things that we can take out of it. And is it close to enough? No, it's nowhere in the realm of enough. But we have to keep trying to take these steps along the way and to fight against this. And not, like Elliot said, you can't be numb to it. This can't just be commonplace, because it has been for far too long, and it's enough.
The last thing I'll say is I'll be interested to see what the Eagles players say about it, right? Mm-hmm. Rodney McLeod, you know, all the players that have spoken up, Carson Wentz, right? I mean, I'll just be interested to see not only what the Eagles players say, but just around the league, obviously with games on Sundays, players talking, NBA games happening, you know, MLB, I don't even know if the Stanley Cup is still happening, but, you know, maybe something there. Like, it'll just be interesting to see how players react.
It is, yes.
There we go. It'll be interesting to see how players react to this, what happens. Yeah, it's just, I thought, you know, before the pod, we said, should we bring it up? And I think it's important too. And we will see what happens next.
Yeah. Look, I think there's going to be unrest, and I think there's going to be, you know, justified protests and all this stuff. Cause again, yet again, it happens where, you know, these people in power are allowed to exercise that power and not have any repercussions from it, any real tangible repercussions or the deserved repercussions. And, you know, that's going to keep happening unless we all fight against it. So it's a real shame. It's a tragedy. And obviously, you know, your heart and all your soul and everything you have goes out to Breonna Taylor's family and the people close to her and the people who have to live with this. It's tragic. It's so sad. And, you know, again, we just need to do everything we can to try and not allow it to continue. All right. Thank you to everyone who listened, who stayed through this and that listened to the end of this pod and, you know, are willing to
we appreciate it.
Yeah, really, really. Cause you know, if you have a pod, if you have any sort of platform, whatever, and you can't use it to talk about things that are important, then, you know, what's the point? So, we really appreciate it. And, we appreciate you and honestly could not do this without you, without the listeners, without the people contributing. And again, all the, awesome reviews and all that. We greatly appreciate it from the bottom of our heart. All right. We will be back Saturday, 1-3 on WIP. Just me. Elliot's bailing on me this week. I forgive him.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad.
His best friend's getting married. We'll accept
yes.
these things.
I have to give a speech too.
I think that is as fair an excuse as ever. But check me out. I'll be doing Go Birds Radio on Saturday, 1-3, and then of course Elliot and I will be back Sunday with the post game show. Hopefully, please, God willing, after an Eagles victory. So, until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. We'll see you later.